Well, we're in the Gospel of John, chapter 7. John, chapter 7. And we're going to pick up where we left off. I've been going through on Sunday mornings the Gospel of John. And we've come to this 7th chapter, and I'm going to read this morning in verse 32 and just read a small section down to verse 36 of John, chapter 7. So when you find it, if you're able to stand with me. If not, just remain seated and follow along. But please stand as we read John, chapter 7. Verse 32. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such thing concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me.
Amen.
Ye shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come.
Amen.
Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come?
Amen.
They were perplexed. We want to stop there. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your love. And I do pray this morning as I preach thy word that you'd please help me.
Yes.
Lord, equip me, fill me with thy spirit.
Amen.
Lead and direct my words and my thoughts today.
Yes.
And may your word have free course this morning.
Yes.
Please remove any distractions from our minds and from this room today. We do pray if there's someone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior,
yes,
that's not truly born again, that today would be the day they get saved. And for the believer, Lord, that you'd give us the discernment that we need in these days as we face what we find here in this passage. Again, I need you today. I recognize, we all do, Lord, that without you, we can do nothing.
Amen.
So please help us. Lord, your people need your help. Your sheep need to hear your voice. But we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In the middle of John chapter 7, we find the Lord Jesus Christ leaving the region of Galilee, which is in the northern section of Israel, where his home ministry base was, if you will, for lack of a better phrase. And he journeys southward once again to go to the city of Jerusalem and to go into the Jewish temple. He's going there to observe one of the three yearly feasts, Jewish feasts. And this one we know because of what we read in verse 2 of chapter 7. It's a Feast of Tabernacles. Now, this is the third time in the Gospel of John that John records for us Jesus Christ going into the temple. You know, if you were to go to Israel today and you were to look from the Mount of Olives down across the Kidron Valley and you'd look up there and see the wall that surrounds the city of Jerusalem and look at the very Temple Mount spot, do you know what you'd find? I'll tell you what you wouldn't find, a temple. It's not there. What you would see is that glowing gold edifice referred to as the Dome of the Rock. The Muslims put it there. You see, the temple that we are referring to here was Herod's temple. The first temple constructed was the one constructed by Solomon. That was destroyed by the Babylonians. The second temple, rebuilt in the days of Zerubbabel and Ezra, was later plundered by Antiochus Epiphanes, but restored to some degree by the Maccabeans. And then later on comes Herod the Great, and he undertakes the task of taking that second temple that was originally built by Ezra and Zerubbabel and the people and building a massive one on a more grander scale beginning in 21 B.C. It would take a long time for him to complete it. As a matter of fact, he would not complete it until A.D. 60, over 30 years after the events of this chapter. So when Jesus Christ came to this temple, yes, it was Herod's temple. Yes, the Jewish temple. It was huge, but it was still under construction. People were building all around, but there's this large edifice that he comes to here this third time. First time he came was in John chapter 2 when he went to the temple to observe the Passover. He enters into the temple and he sees that God's people made his house a house of merchandise, a place that was supposed to be a place of worship and a place of prayer, and he sees all the shenanigans going on. What does he do? Well, he does what every good Baptist would do. He overturns the tables.
Amen.
And he cries out not to make the house of God a house of merchandise. That was his first visit. His second visit was when he had come in John chapter 5 to observe another feast. We don't know what feast that was. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we read that he went in that time into the city of Jerusalem to the pool of Bethesda, and he saw all those lame people, and he saw a man that was lame for 40 plus years, and he says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The man says, "How can I, except some man get me into the water?" Christ says to him, "Take up thy bed and walk," and he does that very thing. He miraculously stands up immediately, he takes up his bed and he walks to the temple. Jesus Christ later goes into the temple and he finds this man there and he has a discussion with him. That's his second visit to the temple. Now it's his third visit here in our text. This time it is just 6 months before his crucifixion. In a short time, Jesus Christ is going to go to the cross of Calvary, die for the sins of the world, and rise from the dead and later ascend back to heaven. But now he comes to this temple again. He comes for this Feast of Tabernacles. But this time, he doesn't come to turn over any money tables. He does not come to heal anyone. But instead, he takes his place there in that outer court by a column, and he boldly preaches and teaches the Word of God.
Amen.
You say, what did he say? We don't know. I said that last week. We don't know. In verse 14 of chapter 7, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. We don't know what he said, but we do know this. Whatever he had preached, it was certainly quite controversial.
Amen.
It certainly created quite a stir. You say, how do you know that? Because from verses 14 down to verse 31, we find recorded for us the different reactions to what he said. Four different groups are shown as to how they reacted to what Jesus Christ was saying. One group in verse 15, I won't read it for time's sake. Another group we find in verse 20. Another group we find in verse 25 to 27. And then the final group in verse 31, all having different reactions to what Jesus Christ said. But the story doesn't end there. It continues on. Christ is still in the temple. We're still in the same scene. Now we're seeing another group that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to deal with. You say, who are they? Well, look at verse 32. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. Notice, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Who's he dealing with now? The Pharisees and the chief priests. You say, who were they? I'll say a little bit more about this in a bit. But they were basically the false religionists of the day.
Amen.
They were religious men. Attached somewhat, if you will, to Judaism. But their religion was a false religion. And I'd like for us to notice the bold statement that the Lord Jesus Christ makes to them in our text here in verse 34. Would you say this to someone, Brother Mike? We should, if Christ would, right?
Amen.
Notice he says, ye shall seek me and shall not find me. Watch this. And where I am, thither ye cannot come.
Amen.
Wow. You say, well, what's he saying here? Here's what he's saying. In a short time, I'm going to be gone, he's telling them. He's going to go to the cross of Calvary, raised from the dead, and then he's going to go back to a place called heaven. To where he came from. And you will look for me, he's telling them, and you will not find me. And where I am up in heaven, you can't come there.
Amen.
Wow. Why would he say such a thing? This morning I'd like to preach on the subject, that phrase, where I am, ye cannot come. and ask the question, why? Why would he say to someone, where I'm going, to heaven, you can't come? Do you know the Bible is quite clear that God wants all men to go to heaven?
Amen.
And we like that.
Amen.
I like that. Our God, the creator of all the universe, the King of kings and Lord of lords, he desires for every human being, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you've done, he wants you and me to be in heaven. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, where not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
Our God's not willing that any should perish. 1 Peter 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So again, the Bible is quite clear that God wants all men to go to heaven.
Amen.
Truth of the matter is, everyone in their right mind should want to go to heaven.
Amen.
I've heard people in a flippant way say, oh, I want to go to hell. But the truth of the matter is that if you realize what hell is, nobody would want to go there.
Amen.
Every human being would rightly say, I want to go to heaven. But the Bible is equally clear of this truth, that not everyone will go to heaven.
Right.
Sorry to break the bad news. Because if you're like me, you've been to many funerals to where the person that is gone on to the next world had wanted nothing to do with God, didn't care about the Lord, denounced the Bible, and someone comes sober, crying, sobbing up to the pulpit and say, well, we're so thankful that they're in a better place. Are they? Are they? How do we know? You know, as a matter of fact, more people will not go to heaven than those that will.
Amen.
I am just the bearer of bad news this morning, aren't I? But that's true.
Amen.
I wish it were not true, but it is. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 7, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. He says the way to destruction is wide, and many people are on that road, and many people will go to hell, but the way to heaven is narrow.
Amen.
Because there's only one way. The way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ alone, and few will be that find it.
Amen.
And here Christ is telling these Pharisees, these chief priests, these officers that come to him, that where he was going, they cannot go. Why? Here's why. Because they chose their false religion over Christ's words.
Amen.
They chose false religion over Christ's words.
Right.
There's a warfare going on here. May I say there's a warfare going on in this world?
Right.
It is a battle between the Word of God and the ideas of men. And let me ask you this morning, which one are you going to believe?
Amen.
Because the two are at war with one another. God's words and false religion are at war.
Right.
And we see it here in this text. Let's notice, first of all, number one, as we notice in our text, the reaction of false religion. How did they react to Christ's words? How does false religion react to God's words? Notice we read in verse 32, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. Watch this. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. You see, the Pharisees were religious, but lost. They were a religious sect during the days of Jesus Christ. Now, during the days of Ezra, priests and scribes were virtually identical. But over time, they separated during the silent years and formed two different groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, with quite different views. But both of those groups accepted their false religion over the words of God. And the Pharisees were strict adherents to the law of Moses, but they went beyond the law of Moses. They taught that only the person that had a life devoted to virtue and adhered to the law of Moses and to their traditions would be the only ones that made it to heaven. That's what they taught. But both of these groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, or the chief priests here in our text, understand what they were. They were unregenerate religious zealots of the day, filled with pride and hypocrisy and false religion.
Right.
Say, preacher, what got in your saddle? Well, the same thing that got in Christ's saddle, if you will. Let me show you what I mean. Turn with me to Matthew 23. How did the Lord Jesus deal with them? Matthew chapter 23. Notice what Christ said about these Pharisees and these chief scribes, if you will. Let's just read a little bit of it. This is perhaps one of the most, I believe, the most scathing sermon that Jesus Christ preached. And he preached it in the face of the false religionists. Not something far away. He didn't shout it to them over there in the field somewhere. I mean, face to face, he said these words to them.
Amen.
Notice what he said in verse 13 of Matthew 23. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in.
Amen.
Powerful words.
Amen.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. That's what false religion does.
Amen.
We were out yesterday knocking on doors, going around to a community not far from here, more towards Route 8, Division Street. And as we're driving, I see walking down the road what I believe to be, and I think I had enough evidence to say this, the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I think about them walking around like these Pharisees with their false religion. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to control people, make merchandise of them. And they're doing the same thing that these Pharisees were doing.
Amen.
Propagating a false religion. That's what we find here. Now go back to our text, if you would, in John chapter 7. Because we read of these Pharisees that I just spoke of and chief priests. They heard something. They heard what the people were murmuring. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured, notice, such things. That's what we dealt with last week concerning him. Watch this. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. So when they heard the words of Jesus Christ and they heard what was the people were saying, what did they do? They got officers to do what? To take him. You say, what do you mean take him? If they had their way, they would have arrested him. They would have taken him away. They would have tried him. And ultimately, they would have hung him on the cross right then and there, I believe.
Amen. Right.
But it wasn't his time yet.
Amen.
So what bothered them so much about his words? What was it? Well, I think we see two things. The first thing is this. Number one, Christ's words destroyed their credibility.
Amen.
What he was saying was destroying their credibility. Go back to verse 25. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? When the people heard Jesus Christ preaching there in the temple, and they said, hey, these are the ones, he's the one that they wanted to kill, but they're not killing him. Look at verse 26. But lo, he speaketh boldly, here it is, and they say nothing unto him.
Amen.
Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? They were saying nothing. You see, when Jesus Christ was proclaiming to this crowd who he is and why he came, proving to them from the scriptures and from his miracles and from his own words that he is indeed the Savior, the Messiah of the world, the Pharisees and the chief priests couldn't say a word.
Amen.
They couldn't respond. They had nothing to say. And so the people thought, well, they must think He's the Christ. Do you know that that is what Christ's words do to false religion?
Amen.
It destroys, they destroy its, their credibility.
Praise the Lord.
Do you know that we have for us today Christ's words right here in the Bible?
Amen.
Do we understand that?
Praise the Lord.
We say it's God's words. Jesus is God. So we could rightfully say these are Christ's words right here.
Amen.
They have been given to us, inspired, breathed out by God. They have been preserved for us for every generation and for English-speaking people. It's in our King James Bible.
Amen.
And so we have the Word of God, the words of God. Jesus Himself said this, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Amen.
In other words, the Bible is God's words. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works.
Amen.
You see, everything that you and I need to know about doctrine, about God, who He is, what He is like, about heaven, about hell, about Jesus Christ, everything we need to know is found in His Word.
Amen. Praise the
Lord. It's right here. And one of the things that the Word of God does is this. It destroys the credibility of false religion.
Amen.
That's what it does. They hate it. I remember one time having a debate with a Jehovah's Witness, and I'm not picking on Jehovah's Witnesses this morning. I know there's some good people that are caught up in cults. I know that. But the teachings of the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons is false.
Amen.
It's heresy. Absolute heresy. I remember one time I was talking to a man and kind of debating him. He was trying to tell me that Jesus is not God. And I said, Jesus is God. And I went to the Bible. I said, look at John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he went into this whole explanation of how it really shouldn't be that. I said, why don't we do this? Why don't we just go to Hebrews chapter 1 and let's just read it.
Amen.
I said, I won't say a comment. You don't say a comment. Could I just read the first 8 or 9 verses? Just let me do that.
Amen.
He didn't want to do that at first, but I proceeded to do it anyway. And so I said, let me just go. And he let me go. And I said, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, in time past, spake in times past by the prophets. I went through the whole thing. And we were inching towards verse 8, where we see that God the Father calls Jesus Christ the Son, God.
Amen.
The Father says to the Son, thy throne, O God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
But he would did everything in his power to stop me from getting to verse 8. I mean, he kept interrupting me. He kept stopping me, trying to bring the debate. I said, just let me read it. Why did he not want to let me read it? I'll tell you why. Because he knew the words of Scripture would destroy his credibility.
Amen.
What, me? It wasn't my ideas at all. It was the Word of God.
Amen.
You see, when false religions claim that baptism save, or that good works get you to heaven, or that the sacraments save, or that Jesus is not God, or that you have to join somebody's organization in order to get to heaven, it is the Word of God that will put to silence all of those false claims.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Bible shuts everybody up.
Amen.
That's teaching wrong things. You know, that's why you and I are commanded in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Understand, you and I have been commanded by God to study the word, to know the word, to be able to handle the word of God. Why? So it can destroy the credibility of false religions.
Right. Amen.
Can't argue with the Bible.
No.
You can try. It's not going to work. Do you know one of the greatest instruments in the hand of God is a child of God filled with the Spirit of God that can handle the Word of God?
Amen.
One of the greatest instruments. Amen. False religions despise the Bible because it destroys their credibility.
Amen.
But there's a second reason I notice in our text that they didn't like Christ's words. Number one was it destroyed their credibility. Number two is this, it diminished their crowd. They didn't like that. Here they are sitting in the temple listening to the Lord Jesus Christ speak. They could not say anything, and people were wondering why they aren't saying anything. They were losing their credibility. And on top of that, we see in verse 31, I believe it is, and many of the people believed on him. They're starting to lose their crowd now. They're losing losing their following. Many people were now embracing the words of Christ over the false teachings of the Pharisees, and people were getting saved. These Pharisees and chief priests, they were losing people.
Amen.
And they didn't like that. You know, that's what the Word of God does to false religion.
Amen.
For it does. It shows people what is truth. It reveals what is error. It reveals to what is right doctrine and what is wrong doctrine again. And it is hated by the false religionists. Why? Because it diminishes their crowd.
Right.
You know, for 1,000 years, the Dark Ages, Roman Catholicism literally had a hold on the entire known world. They did. When Constantine in 313 made an edict wedding religion and state, making so-called Christianity the state religion, but in essence making Roman Catholicism the state religion, and he handed them the sword, what they did for 1,000 years was force people to believe or die. 1,000 years. So you know what they did to try to stop people from leaving their religion? They destroyed all the Bibles. They had first made a law that you could not read the Bible, that the common man cannot read the Bible. By the way, there are many Roman Catholics today that will still tell you, you can't understand the Bible. You need someone to tell you what it says. That's not what the Bible says.
Amen.
It's out of any private interpretation. So at first they tried to stop people by reading the Bible, by making a law. You can't read the Bible. But people still were.
Amen.
And then they made it a law that only certain high-level priests, because what was happening was people were reading the Bible and they're saying, hey, wait a minute here. What you're saying does not match up with the Word of God. The Bible is quite clear. The way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ and Jesus alone, not through the sacraments and the traditions.
Amen.
Gathered up Bibles all over the world, did everything in their power. They burned them, literally burned Bibles for 1,000 years. Why in the world did they despise the Word of God so much? Here's why. It diminished their crowd.
Amen.
It diminished their crowd.
Amen.
You see, this is how false religion reacts to the Word of God.
Amen.
It hates it. It wants to get rid of it. But thank the Lord that it can't. You say, why? How do you know that? Well, Psalm chapter 12 and verse 6 and 7 says this: the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace, purified of earth seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever.
Amen.
God promised He'd preserve His words for you and I.
Amen.
Forever. So we see the reaction of false religion to Christ's words. Secondly, I want you to notice, back to John chapter 7, the condition of false religion. So here the Pharisees hear what the people are murmuring. They're upset. They want to take Christ. Why is that? Because they were losing, He was diminishing their crowd. They were destroying His credibility. And so Jesus turns to them in verse 33. Notice what He says. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto Him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither, notice, ye cannot come.
Amen.
Again, I'm going to go down this road for a moment. I hope you don't mind, but the religiously correct thing to say today are things like this. Well, all roads lead to heaven. And as long as somebody is sincere and tries to live a good life and does their best and believe in God, that it doesn't really matter what they believe, certainly God will take them into heaven. That's a lie.
Amen.
Straight from the pits of hell.
Amen. Right.
That's what it is.
Right.
Notice what Jesus said to these false religionists. First of all, number one, notice the place where He was going. He told them where He was going. He says, notice, He's speaking of heaven here. He said, yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto Him that sent me. In a few short months, again, Jesus Christ would go to the cross of Calvary. He'd die for the sins of the world. He'd rise from the dead. He'd spend 40 days on earth after His resurrection. And then He'd ascend back up where? To heaven.
Amen. Amen.
He says, in a little while, you're not going to see me. I'm going back to the one that sent me.
Amen.
But he doesn't stop there. He plunges the knife, if you will, of conviction by showing them the problem of them going. He says in verse 34, ye shall seek me and shall not find me. Where I am, thither ye cannot come.
Amen.
You can't come.
Right.
You know, what a contrast that phrase is. Notice the phrase, if you will, again in verse 34, where I am, thither ye cannot come. What a contrast to what he told his disciples in John 14.
Amen.
Turn over to John 14 quickly, if you would, just a few pages to the right. And we all, most of us, if not all of us, know this passage. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He's speaking to his disciples here. I go to prepare a place for you. Watch this. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Here's the phrase, that where I am, there ye may be also. See, a lot of people like to cling to that out of the context. They say, well, there it is. We're all going to heaven. No, 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 no.
Amen.
Look back to what he said to the Pharisees.
Amen.
He says, where I am, thither ye cannot come. So to the one group, he says to them, you cannot come. And you're going to be where I am. You're coming.
Amen. Hallelujah.
What's the difference? Their condition.
Amen.
Their spiritual condition. You see, the difference is simple as this. Compare Scripture with Scripture. The disciples were saved. So where Jesus was going, there they would be with Him. The Pharisees were not. So where Christ was going, there they could not come.
Amen.
Because they were lost.
Right.
Do you know that everyone in this room this morning, everyone, bar none, maybe your first time here, you may be almost part of the furniture. You've been here so many times. But either way, everyone in this room is in one of two spiritual conditions.
Amen.
That's it.
That's right.
That's it.
That's right.
One of two. You are either saved this morning or you're lost.
Right.
And the only ones that will be in heaven by the authority of God's word are those that are saved.
Amen.
That's it.
Right.
That's it. Christ, right in their face, said, I'm going. He told them their condition. You can't come. Because they weren't saved. Can I ask you this morning, are you?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Are you saved? Do you know for sure if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? Could you say if I was someone that was your neighbor or friend and I came to you and I said, how do I get to heaven? Could you tell me how to get there? If not, then you need to be saved this morning.
Amen.
And the good news is you can be saved. And you can know that your sins are forgiven. You can know you have a home in heaven. You say, why? Because of Christ's words.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So we see the reaction of false religion. Secondly, we saw the condition of false religion. And thirdly, I want you to notice the decision of false religion. It's interesting because when Christ said that, notice how they responded. Verse 35, then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? What does he mean? Well, what are they saying here? Well, some may say this. Perhaps they were confused because they weren't spiritually awakened. Here's what I mean by that. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things that are the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned.
Amen.
Matthew 13 talks about the condition of the heart. If you have a condition of a heart that rejects God and rejects His word, understand something, you will not understand spiritual truth. It's only revealed to the person whose heart is open, the person who's ready to receive the truth of the Word of God. That's the one that understands it.
Right.
But I don't think that was the problem here. I really don't. Could have been. I believe the Pharisees and the scribes knew exactly what he was saying. I do. The reason I believe that is because they heard of him for almost 3 years. He had been to Jerusalem before. They heard the talk about him. They heard him proclaiming to be God, proclaiming to be the Messiah. They knew exactly what he was saying. Matter of fact, there's going to come a time where they want to stone him because they say, you make yourself equal with God.
Amen.
So they knew. He's been saying it over and over again. The truth of the matter is this. I believe that they willingly chose their false religion over the words of Christ. Can I say that again? They willingly chose false religion over the words of Jesus Christ. You say, who in the world would do that? A lot of people. A lot of people. I've been witnessing over the years to people that have said something like this. You knock on their door. Hi, I'm Pastor Moore from Capital Baptist Church. I'd like to invite you out to church and blah, blah, blah. And then say, hey, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Oh, I think so. Oh, how do you know for sure? Well, I do good and I go to church and I've been christened as a baby and I've observed the sacraments. I've had my first Holy Communion. I said, well, let me ask you something. What would you do if I could show you from the Bible what it says about being saved? And if you had to choose between what the Bible says and what your religion or your priest says, which would you choose? You know, to us that know the Lord, the answer is simple. Well, the Amen. Bible.
Amen, of course.
But you know that many people, many have said, well, I'd trust my priest.
That's right.
Wow. I'd trust what my religion says. I'd trust that instead of that. That is the grip that false religion has on the hearts of people. May I say this too, though? As a believer, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we can practice the same philosophy. Here's what I mean. Well, I never taught that. I was never taught. We're supposed to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Nobody ever taught me ahead of time. My church back here said it was okay if I just did this. Well, what does the Bible say?
Amen.
Oh, sorry, didn't mean to get the Bible in on a theological discussion.
Amen.
But so many people do that. If you're here today and you're not saved, can I encourage you? Don't just believe me because I'm saying it. Believe Christ's words.
Amen.
Jesus Christ clearly and boldly proclaimed the only way to heaven is through him. You and I are sinners destined for hell because we violated the law of God. We're guilty. We deserve God's punishment. But God in his mercy sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to go to the cross of Calvary, to die for our sins, to pay our sin debt in full. That if you and I will simply repent of our sin and trust Jesus Christ as Savior, believing that what he did on the cross of Calvary is the only thing that's going to save me. It's the only thing that's going to get my sins forgiven and receive him as your Savior where he is there. You will be also. And what a joy it is to know the Lord. So I ask you this morning, when Christ said to those Pharisees, where I am, you cannot come. Would you fit in that category? If you're clinging to false religion, you will. If you've never been saved, you will. But the good news is, you can change that today.
Amen.
Today. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today.
Amen.
So you will know where you're going when you die.
Amen.
Take Christ's words over everything else.
Praise.
Let's pray together.